Chapter 16. When 12 had chimed and moonlight climbed, they watched, and he was tracked by arch and aisle and saint and knight of sculptured stonework sheeted white in the cathedral's ghostly light, uncaptured in the act. Yes, for this love he loved too well, where Dunkery sights the Severn shore, all for this love he loved too well he burst the holy bars, seized golden vessels from the chest, to buy her ornaments of the best, at her ill witchery's request and lure of eyes like stars. Dot dot, when blustering March confused the sky in Toneborough town by Exon Moor, when blustering March confused the sky they stretched him, and he died. Down in the crowd where I, to see the end of him, stood silently, with a set face he lipped to me Emimer. Why? I cried. By night and day I shadowed her from Toneborough Dean to Dunkery Tor, I shadowed her asleep, astir, and yet I could not bear till wrestler Joe Anon began to figure as her chosen man, and took her to his shining van to doom a form so fair. He made it handsome for her sake, and Dunkery smiled to Exon Moor he made it handsome for her sake, painting it out and in. And on the door of apple green a bright brass knocker soon was seen, and window curtains white and clean for her to sit within. And all could see she clave to him as cleaves a cloud to Dunkery Tor, yea, all could see she clave to him, and every day I said, a pity it seems to part those two, that hourly grow to love more true. Yet she's the wanton woman who sent one to swing till dead. That blew to blazing all my hate, while Dunkery frowned on Exon Moor, and when the river swelled, her fate came to her pitilessly. Dot dot I dogged her, crying. Cross that plank they use as bridge to reach yon bank a coat and hat lie limp and dank. Your goodmans, can they be? She paled, and went, I close behind and Exon frowned to Dunkery Tor, she went, and I came up behind, and tipped the plank that bore her, fleetly flitting across to I what such might bode. She slid her eye, and from the current came a cry, a gurgle, and no more. How that befell no mortal knew from Marlbury Downs to Exon Moor. No mortal knew that deed undo, but he who schemed the crime, which night still covers. Dot dot but in dream those ropes of hair upon the stream he sees, and he will hear that scream until his judgment time. The Abbey Mason, inventor of the perpendicular style of Gothic architecture. The new vamped abbey shaped apace in the 14th century of grace. The church which, at an after date, acquired cathedral rank and state. Panel and circumscribing wall of latest feature, trim and tall. Rose round about the Norman core in prouder pose than theretofore, encasing magically the old with parpendashler's manifold. The trowels rang out, and tracery appeared where blanks had used to be. Men toiled for pleasure more than pay, and all went smoothly day by day, till, in due course, the transept part engrossed the master mason's art. Homecoming thence he tossed and turned throughout the night till the new sun burned. What fearful visions have inspired these gain-givings? His wife inquired. As if your tools were in your hand you have hammered, fitted, muttered, planned. You have thumped as you were working hard. I might have found me bruised and scarred. What then's amiss? What eating care looms nigh, whereof I am unaware? He answered not, but churchward went, viewing his drafts with discontent. And fumbled there the livelong day till, hollow-eyed, he came away. 'Twas said, the master mason's ill, and all the abbey works stood still. Quoth Abbot Wigmore, hi, oh why distress yourself? You will surely die. The mason answered, trouble-torn, this long-vogued style is quite outworn. The upper arch mold noho serves to meet the lower tracery curves. The OG's bend too far away, to give the flexures interplay. This it is causes my distress. Dot dot so it will ever be unless new forms be found to supersede the circle when occasions need. To carry it out I have tried and toiled, and now perforce must own me foiled. Jeers will say, here was a man who could not end what he began. Apostrophe, so past that day, the next, the abbot scanned the task, perplexed. The townsmen mustered all their wit, to fathom how to compass it, but no raw artistries availed, where practice in the craft had failed. One night he tossed, all open-eyed, and early left his helpmeet's side. Scattering the rushes of the floor, he wandered from the chamber door, and sought the sizing pile, whereon struck dimly a cadaverous dawn, through freezing rain, that drenched the board of diagram lines he last had scored, chalked fantasies in vain begot, to knife the architectural knot in front of which he dully stood, regarding them in hopeless mood. He closelier looked, then looked again. The chalk-scratched draft board faced the rain, whose icicle drops deformed the lines in numerous of his lame designs, so that they streamed in small white threads from the upper segments to the heads of arcs below, uniting them each by a stalactitic stem. At once, with eyes that struck out sparks, he adds accessory cusping marks, then laughs aloud. The thing was done so long assayed from sun to sun. Now in his joy he grew aware of one behind him standing there, and, turning, saw the abbot, who the weather's whim was watching to. Onward to prime the abbot went, tacit upon the incident. Men now discerned as days revolved the odd riddle had been solved. Templates were cut, fresh lines were chalked, where lines had been defaced and balked, and the work swelled and mounted higher, achievement distancing desire. Here jams with transoms fixed between, where never the like before had been, there little mullions thinly sawn, where meeting circles once were drawn. We knew, men said, the thing would go after his craft with God aglow, and, once fulfilled what he has designed, we'll honor him, and his great mind. When matters stood thus poised awhile, and all surroundings shed a smile, the master mason on an eve home to his wife and seemed to grieve. The abbot spoke to me today. He hangs about the works alway. He knows the source as well as I of the new style men magnify. He said, you pride yourself too much on your creation. Is it such? Surely the hand of God it is that conjured so, and only his. Disclosing by the frost and rain forms your invention chased in vain. Hence the devices deemed so great you copied, and did not create. I feel the abbot's words are just, and that all thanks renounce I must. Can a man welcome praise and pelf for hatching art that hatched itself? So, I shall own the deft design as heaven's outshaping, and not mine. What? Said she. Raise your works and sure to throw away, and quite obscure, your beaming and beneficent star? Better you leave things as they are. Why, think a while. Had not your zest and your loved craft curtailed your rest, had you not gone there ere the day the sun had melted all away. But, though his good wife argued so, the mason let the people know that not unaided sprang the thought whereby the glorious fane was wrought, but that by frost, when dawn was dim, the method was disclosed to him. Yet, said the townspeople thereat, 'tis your own doing, even with that. But he chafed, childlike, in extremes the temperament of men of dreams, aloofly scrupled to admit that he did aught but borrow it, and diffidently made request that with the abbot all should rest. As none could doubt the abbot's word, or question what the church averred. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.